Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Advent Sunday, the 30th of November, 2008. Hello and welcome, thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at MBC. Well, this week, because it was Advent Sunday, we had all-age worship. The subject was the love of God. The readings are from Isaiah 40 and 1 John 4, and I've edited various bits and bobs of the service together for you, so hopefully you'll get a flavour of what a wonderful service it was this morning. So let's go over and join Andy as he's introducing the service.
This is Advent Sunday. I can't believe it myself, but we're at that time of the year, that season where we're preparing for that great celebration, Christmas Day, where we're preparing our hearts, we're preparing our minds, we're preparing our lives. And on this day, and it seemed right as we were praying during the week, to focus on the love of God. God's love. Because it is God's love that is the whole reason behind this time of year, behind the giving of the Lord Jesus. It was the love of God, as this famous verse reminds us. For God loved the world so much that he gave his Son, the Lord Jesus. And it was the love of God which motivated him to send the Lord Jesus. It was the love of us that motivated Jesus to lay down his majesty, to give his life for you and for me. It was the love of God. The love of God. And is this going to work today? You're going to have to do it. David Watson, many of you will know David Watson. He wasn't the only one, but famously David Watson, just before he died, someone was asking him, David, you've had an amazing ministry. You've spent years telling other people about Jesus, teaching Christians about what it means to be a Christian. You've done this for years and years. You've travelled all over the world. David, what is the thing, the one thing that you would leave, that you would want to say to someone if it was the last thing you were able to say, you were going to say? And of all that, David Watson said, God loves you. Can you say that to the person sitting next to you? God loves you. Now say it. Now say it just quietly to yourself. Say it quietly to yourself. God loves me. God loves me. And there's, believe it or not, she's got a name like a man, but it's actually a woman. And she lived a long, long, long time ago. She was called Julian of Norwich. And she said this. Just let this sink into us. We are so preciously loved by God that we cannot even comprehend it. No created being can ever know how much and how sweetly and tenderly God loves them. Isn't that wonderful? God loves. We are so preciously loved by God. Just say to the person next to you again, God loves you. Brian, no one's saying it to you. God loves you. And now, let's just have a moment of quiet as we... Are you safe with matches? Would you like to come and light our Advent candle? Come on. This is Gregory, everyone. Are you okay? Are you safe with matches? You're not going to set this place alight, are you? Can you light our... They're going to be difficult to light because new candles always are, so just be patient. Oh, go on in. That's it. Don't burn yourself. Don't burn yourself. Just burn yourself. Thinking, eh? Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Let me... We'll do it together. There. Okay. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Well done. It's likely to go out. Okay. Go and have a seat. This is what happened the other day. Some reason they have to burn, don't they, before they light properly. There we go. As we remember, the love of God. The love of God. That's what we're thinking about this morning. As we light this candle, let's have a moment of peace, a moment of quiet, as we think about that. Father, this morning, on this first Sunday in Advent, we light this candle that it may remind us of the love of God, of your love, which is so great and so tender and so sweet and so all-encompassing, so unconditional. Lord, help us to know this day and every day that you love us. You love me. And Lord, as well as that candle burning there, may that truth burn in our hearts. May that truth lighten up our lives, our understanding of who you are and of who we are. Thank you, Father, for your love. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to sing an Advent hymn, Hills of the North Rejoice, River and Mountain Spring. Christ comes in, righteousness and love. He brings salvation from above. Let's stand. So I was thinking about Advent and our time together this morning. I was reminded of the fact of how wonderful that first Advent was. And you remember when Jesus arrived on the scene, not everybody recognised him and not everybody rejoiced and thought it was marvellous. We can today because we look back in hindsight, and we can see how wonderful and marvellous it was. But I was reminded of the fact that God, when Jesus came, God had been silent for 400 years. Can you imagine that? I hope you and I expect God to speak to us daily. Certainly in the Old Testament, God, through the prophets, spoke to the people. But before the time of Jesus, God had been quiet for 400 years. And the people were hungry and thirsty for God to speak because they hadn't heard him. They had no direction. They had no sense that he was there. He'd been silent for 400 years. And then a man came. And his name was John. Became known as John the Baptist. And the Bible, the New Testament, talks about John the Baptist as being one who was crying out in the wilderness. Who was calling out in the wilderness, make way for the Lord. He's coming. John the Baptist. Can you imagine 400 years of silence? And then all of a sudden, this locust-eating man in the desert began to say, the Lord is coming. The kingdom is near. And the people, you can imagine, began to get excited. Is this the time? Is this the moment that we've been waiting for? You see, because when, can you imagine if nobody speaks to you for a day or two? I've got to be careful. You want to talk, don't you? You want to meet people. You want to talk to them and you want them to talk to you. 400 years, no sign of God. John the Baptist says, he's coming, he's coming. And as I thought about that, I thought about the desert. Because that's the place where John the Baptist was preaching. He came in the wilderness, in the desert. And you know, when you think about the desert, do you have pictures like this? Some of you. It's nice, isn't it? It's dry, but it's quite pretty, isn't it? Yeah. Actually, when we think of the desert this morning, I think this is more an accurate picture. Yeah? It's not nice. Death. There's no life. And the life that there is struggling. Actually, I think John the Baptist came into the wilderness and it was like that. Don't look. I'll turn it off for you. And yet that is the spiritual world that John the Baptist came into. He came into the wilderness. There had been no word from the Lord for 400 years. And where there is no water, there's death. There is no life. Jesus came into the desert. He came into that context. Now, friends, I don't know about you, but as I look in our world, do I see a beautiful wilderness or even a beautiful harvest field? No, I see death. I won't tell you what I saw last night as I was driving home from the beach, as people were streaming back to Butlins. I won't tell you what I saw. But as I look on that, I think, is this a green and pleasant land? No, it's more like that picture, I think. And the people were hungry and thirsty for God. They hadn't heard from him. They did not know that he was still there. They may well have thought, he's rejected us because he hadn't spoken for 400 years. And as I look on our world, I think, oh Lord, we need you as much today as they did then. And we're going to sing another wonderful Advent hymn. O come, Emmanuel. And do we have that sense of thirst, that sense of hunger? Lord, we need you. This is a prayer. This is a great prayer. This is a great, oh Lord, come. Shall we stand and sing this wonderful prayer?
Isaiah, Yeshayahu, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 5, and then on down, verses 9 and 11. Chapter 40, 1 to 5. Comfort. O comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem, and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received of the Lord's hand double of all her sins. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness, make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low, and let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Get yourself up on a high mountain, O Zion, bearer of good news. Lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. Lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with might, with his arm ruling for them. Behold, his servant is with him, and his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. Hallelujah.
Now, Sarah and Ellie are going to come and bring a New Testament reading for us. They're going to read from the first letter of John, 1 John chapter 4. Would it be good for you to stand in front of this microphone here? This one will pick you up, I'm sure. This is Sarah and this is Ellie. And they're going to read for us, okay? When you're ready.
Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love.
Lovely. Thank you very much indeed. You can have a seat. He had plainly marked out his space with a long piece of string, and he really had fixed it so that everything he needed was right there with him. And Joy certainly was not wanted, but Joy kept invading Conrad's space. Very uncool for a daughter to kiss her mother. So Conrad built himself a wall. No doors and no windows. Just a wall. And the wall was just tall enough so that Joy couldn't get in. So Joy chose herself a spot right next to Conrad's. And she began throwing things over the wall. Bunches of flowers. Bits of chocolate. And notes that said, "I love you." And Conrad threw them back. He threw back the chocolates. He threw back the flowers. And he threw everything back into Joy's space. Except a chocolate. He kept one for himself. And he threw the notes back into Joy's space. Except that he kept one for himself. But Joy was undeterred. She remained in the space next to Conrad's for a very long time, and the flowers and the chocolates and the notes which said, "I love you," continued to be thrown back and forwards over the wall. But each time, Conrad was more and more surprised that Joy was still there. And each time he kept back for himself one of those notes that said, "I love you." Thank you. How am I supposed to do anything here? You enjoyed that, didn't you? Yeah. And you got some chocolates. Yeah. Sometimes we can build walls around ourselves, can't we? All right. Shh. If I give you one, will you then be quiet? Right. Okay. All right. Shh. Sometimes we build walls around ourselves. And sometimes we can be a little bit like the desert, can't we? You know, I read somewhere yesterday that for a good, healthy marriage, it needs 4 hugs a day. Did you know that? 4 hugs a day. For us to live, we need to know God loves us. We need to know. And sometimes we can build a wall around our lives, and we can prevent other people from coming anywhere near us, and we can prevent God from coming anywhere near us. But God loves you. You know, there's a tendency to do a talk like this and to read 1 John chapter 4 and to be able to say, well, part A of this talk is that God loves us. Part B of this talk, and I've done it myself, is that therefore we should love one another. It's perfectly legitimate, it's perfectly right, and it's in there in 1 John chapter 4. But I want to say this morning, God loves you, full stop. Because actually, we really need to know that. You need to know it. I need to know it. We need to know it. We need to know that God loves me, full stop. No ifs, no buts. God loves me. And there'll be some here this morning who know that, but who find it difficult. There's lots about God's love in the Bible. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, and that's why we had all these chocolates. It's not just one chocolate here and one chocolate there, but the love the Father lavishes upon us. He pours his love upon us. He loves us. That we should be called children of God. And 1 John chapter 3:16, it's interesting this, because we all know, and we started the service with John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world." 1 John 3:16 says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. We know God loves us because Jesus gave his life for us. Isn't that wonderful? 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he first loved us and gave his son as an atoning sacrifice. Now, those are difficult words for some of us. It means that he laid down his life for us. This is how much we know God loves us. He sent Jesus into the world. And there's this lovely, simple phrase that, was it Ellie or Sarah read to us just now from 1 John 4, verse 16, that simply says, God is love. I find that very interesting, don't you? Because it doesn't say God loves us like the other ones. It says God is love. He is love. It's absolutely marvellous. God is love. Oh, this thing. Julian of Norwich, you remember that quote that I brought earlier? The same lady, in the same bit, carried on to say this. It is our nature to long for him. And it is his nature to long for us. Isn't that wonderful? You know, God longs for you. He loves you. His whole being, he is love. And he longs for you. He longs for me. He has that emptiness inside himself until it is filled by you. It's an amazing thought. 1 John 4:16. So we know, and this I read during the week and I thought, my word, it blew my mind away. 1 John 4 verse 16, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. And I thought, that's what I want to share with you this morning. Just this simple verse. And I want to share two things about it. The first is this. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. And so we know about this love. And, you know, there are many things. If I said, do you know the Queen? You'd say, yeah, who knows the Queen? Yeah, someone, okay. Yeah. Who really knows the Queen? Has anyone met the Queen? Yeah, a few of you. Oh, well done. Okay. We may know about her, might we? We may know she's Queen of England. We may know she likes corgi dogs. Someone's got to. So sorry if I've offended anyone. They're not really dogs, are they? So we may know this and that and various things about the Queen, but we don't know her. And this word know in the Bible here is not about knowing about something, it is about knowing in our experiences. It's an intimate knowledge. I know. And we know the love that God has for us. It's in our experience, not just in our heads. Who knows in their heads that God loves them? Who knows in your heads? Who knows in theory? Yeah, pretty much everybody. Who knows in your heart that God loves you? Yeah. I won't ask the next question, because this is for you. But do you know in your experience that God loves you? This knowing is about an experience. We know because we know because we know God loves us. And there'll be some of us here this morning who know in our heads that God loves us. We may know even a bit in our hearts that God loves us. But do we know that God loves you? Do you know that God loves you? And knowing that God loves us doesn't mean that we don't hurt him, doesn't mean that we don't upset him, doesn't even mean that we don't make him angry. We do, and we can. But it does mean that he never stops loving us. There is nothing we can do to make him love us any more or less. And as I was writing this, I thought, you know, God can't hate you. You know that. It's not that he just loves us. He can't physically hate you. Because God is love. In him there is no darkness. In him there is no hate. And there are some who feel that God hates them and that they're rubbish. God can't love me. God hates me. Because other people hate me. God cannot hate you. He cannot hate me because God is love. He can only love. And he loves with his whole being. And we remember that on this Advent Sunday. God is love. But then I thought, isn't it interesting? Because the verse doesn't finish there. Not only are we to know God's love for us, but we can rely on it. Isn't that amazing? Isn't the Bible just the most amazing book in the world? It says we can know, we can rely on it. When I just give me some images, if I use that word rely, what images does that put in your mind or your heart? Anybody, rely. It's true. It's true. We can rely on it because it's true. Anybody else? Sorry?
Trust.
Yeah, are you visiting this morning? Lovely to see you. Yeah. We can trust. Yeah, rely means trust.
We can help each other.
We can help each other, yeah, okay. What about some others? Pauline?
There used to be a mattress manufacturer called
Renown. Oh, right. Did you hear that? A mattress manufacturer called Rely On. So she's saying we can lie back. We can rely on. You ought to be doing this talk, Pauline. You'd be doing it far better than I. Yeah, we can rely on it. We can lie back. We can rest in it. Others?
A strong rope.
Something that's strong and trustworthy. The definition of rely means to depend on something with confidence. I thought I bought this in this morning. This was made for me by some of my team at Lee Abbey when they left. They made it for me, and they felt as though this symbolised something of what God had called me to. And you know, it's absolutely sturdy. I can put all my weight on it, and I know it's not going to break. It's absolutely reliable. It's absolutely strong, and I can rely. I can really, really lean on it. And to rely on something. Do you know, actually, the root of the word rely actually means to be bound, tied to be bound to something. Isn't that a lovely picture? Do we know the love of God such that we can rely on it when things get tough, when things get rough, when the sea's a little bit unsettled, when things are happening to us that we don't understand, we don't like, we don't want? God's love is reliable. It will not let us down. God cannot hate us. He loves us. And his love for us is utterly dependable. His love for us is utterly reliable. Isn't that wonderful? His love is sure. It will never let us down. We're going to sing about God's love. Just going to sing three songs about God's love. And I'd love us as we do this. First of all, we're going to celebrate God's love. Your love is amazing. And then we're going to have a bit more reflection on God's love for us. And as we do this, should we take up our offering? But as we do, let us come with hearts where we say, Lord, thank you for your love. Should we stand?
If you'd like to leave a comment on today's service, please do so by going to the website over at minehead-baptist.com/sermons. And the website's also a great place to find out about all our Christmas services and activities. We'd love to see you there if you're in the area over Christmas, so find out what's happening and please come along. And if you'd like to know more about Christmas in general, well, I run a website over at www.whychristmas.com, which is a great site to find out about everything Christmassy. So thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed, and I'll speak to you soon.